Strong and wrong.
Woman. No, I'm cool with the. Alright, let's do it one more time. All
right, you're good. We're just messing with you.
Just rattled you a little bit, man.
Nah, you didn't rattle me. I'm never nervous, bro.
Never scared.
What? Never scared. God. Yo, what up? This is Off the Record. You're rocking with your boy Shobaraka, a Don Bean, Dan, Duncan, and a jerk named John Parker.
Hello.
I can't wait for David Perdue to get back so we can send this knucklehead home.
Hey, he's buried somewhere, man. I'm here.
This is Off the Record, where creatives get together, talk all things culture, current events, politics, whatever. Whatever's on your mind. Unadulterated conversation.
Unfiltered.
Unsolicited views. Yes. And we're guaranteed where Dan is going to talk reckless about somebody he's never met.
That's probably right. D1, I'm coming for you.
Oh, gosh. Once again,
he's like my favorite mascot of this show.
I can't wait till terrible that day he just mascot. Walk up on you and punch you in your mouth. And you realize he's like,
he's a good guy.
I wasn't all the way safe.
His music's terrible.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Once again.
Until everyone acknowledges it, I feel like I have a mission.
Once again, we're moving on.
Don stepped away. He's like, nope.
So, yeah, I'm just, you know what? So, as I'm getting in the habit of starting this conversation or starting this podcast, Dan, what you listening to? What you listening to, Dan?
Come NF? On. No, I'm just kidding.
You're already on like nine, man. Yeah.
Bro, I'm excited.
The Scott is on nine.
Three black dudes and an angry guy.
Three black dudes and an angry redhead.
Yep. Red.
Let's go. What are you listening to?
Real talk. Man, I was on my Bob Marley grind all day today.
Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Which one? Which album? What are you, all of them? You just going through his anthology?
Man, I just that Spotify shuffle.
Yeah.
Just give me everything.
Good. Adon, what you reading, bruh?
Reading.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Because you read.
Master did not teach me that.
Stop. I don't know.
S-T-O-P. Oh, no, no words. I'd get killed if I learned to read. No. What am I reading?
What's something that you've read today? It could be an article, anything.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Man, you put me on the spot. I think I probably the thing that I read, which was interesting, was that, and this is some news from last week, but that whole thing about the artificial intelligence mm-hmm, thing that
the Go,
was that what it was?
The Go game?
Yeah.
What? I don't know about this.
The Go game.
The
Go game.
Yeah, it's like a sophisticated dual player games, kind of like more sophisticated than chess. And okay. the level 9 master played artificial intelligence before, like artificial intelligence has never won. I think it was 3 weeks ago they played 4 matches, maybe 5 matches, and out of those matches, the master only won one.
Oh, my gosh.
So artificial intelligence is...
Terminator is a real thing?
Yeah, it's happening.
Skynet.
So that's dope. That actually wasn't what I read.
I was wondering. Like, he going to tell you what you read. Oh, this is what you read? Oh, okay.
But I appreciate it, though. I do know what you're talking about, but that's what I was reading about was Microsoft's artificial intelligence thing that they launched, their bot, and they launched it, and it scraped, like, Twitter... To gain like personality, and it was racist.
Yeah. Oh,
stop!
Yes. It went online.
Are you serious?
It went online and it started saying the most racist, misogynistic, terrible things possible.
Are you serious?
And Microsoft had to pull it down within hours and apologize profusely. But I think it's the biggest mirror for society to say,
bro,
like, this is who the F we are. We are a racist society.
We're making America great again.
Are you? This is the truth, bro.
This is the dog. So, yeah.
Who's written about this? Because obviously everybody's written about this.
Yes. I mean, it was on The Guardian. I mean, it was all over. Vice covered it. So Dan should have learned about it.
Because that's Dan's world.
Standard.
Dan, you are the mascot for Vice. You're like the Vice mascot.
But yeah, man, it was an AI chatbot. And it essentially just, it gave you a crash course in racism.
I got to check this out.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I got to see some of the tweets. Can we get some of the tweets real quick?
I will. I'll pull it up
for you. I'm gonna give JP. JP, what's making you happy these days, JP?
Ooh, well, an uncle of mine just mailed me some dice,
like plain dice, or dice that you hang in a Cadillac.
Nah, not Cadillac them. Mirror. So basically, he is about, he's probably 60, and he found this in his house when he was cleaning up after his parents that are deceased. It had like on you roll it, it'll say kiss me. The other one will say in the tub. And it's just like,
oh,
so,
those kind of dice.
So, yeah. So I just got that in the mail today. I was like, ugh, where it came from, but I'm using it now.
Sanitize, so that's
making me happy.
I got
so
you, bro.
I'm going to roll the dice when I get home this evening.
Are you? That's why you got to leave early? He's like, brothers, I can't.
10:15, I'm out of here.
I can't stay long, brothers.
Granny's going to sleep, and I'm trying to catch her.
I popped a pill an hour ago.
I got a 3-hour window.
Oh, yes. Sorry,
and I'm trying not to talk about nothing here. I don't want to activate it too soon. As once you go, it's over with, man. You don't get that back, man.
Is that how that works? It's like one pop top.
That's it, man. That's it.
Oh, my gosh. This is so ridiculous.
I ain't wasting
now.
It with y'all. That's what I'm saying. I'm not wasting it on y'all.
Please, if you did,
please, brother, you got to pass.
Yeah, please. Man, gummy bears. Just think of all kinds of like
baseball stats.
That's exactly.
Home runs, 34-7. Nothing. Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
American flag. Yes. I pledge allegiance.
Yeah. That's it.
That is so ridiculous, JP. Yeah. Why are you? Always you.
You asked me what was making me happy. I was ready for the book.
Softball.
I was ready for the book. Oh, actually, sir, I've been reading the Great Escape by. You didn't ask me book.
Oh gosh! All right, I'm gonna leave you alone.
Thank you.
We're gonna go back to my man, and then we're gonna introduce a new series that we do. That we're gonna start. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, it doesn't exactly give the exact tweets, but what it did say is that the Microsoft AI chatbot. Likened feminism to cancer.
No.
Which I know Sho agrees with.
I agree with wholeheartedly.
Man.
I know Sho agrees with. I'm all for that.
Where is Candace when you need her?
There is no, I have no politically correctness in my bones for feminism. I just can't. I'm not here for feminism. That's all I'm saying.
F for feminism. So,
let's unpack that for a second. So are you not here for... What are all the things that you are not here for within feminism? Are you not for equal pay?
I am for equal pay. I'm actually feminism in its
the expressed idea of it
is great.
You agree with
the individuals I think that champion it and what they perpetuate within feminism. I just can't.
Not an issue.
I have a hard issue, and oftentimes what they. What it seems like they intentionally like aim who they aim at, like, though I know feminism in itself is not anti-homemaker and anti like traditionalist in a sense, but oftentimes that's what it seems like they fight against. I'm jokingly, I'm not against feminism. Mm. I just don't like the idea of
barefoot and pregnant.
Oh no, you can be barefoot and pregnant all day long. That's actually how I think you should be.
Okay,
that's anti-feminism. That's be in the kitchen. You should be in the kitchen, barefoot, pregnant, kicking it.
No, my wife doesn't wear a watch because the only clock she needs is on the oven.
But anyway, yeah.
Jeez.
I didn't even hear that, and I'm glad I didn't.
Just skip over that. But no. So aside from that, the bot also said that the Holocaust was made up.
What? Oh gosh!
I love this bot.
Who did they go to a specific account?
Yeah, they obviously didn't go to
Donald Trump's account.
They went to.
So
Twitter.
Basically, what they're saying is like the mass of like the majority populace of Twitter outweigh like
their voice
is majority ridiculous as chauvinist
as we
racist.
Say right, like Trump is the leader we deserve.
Dang.
But he's gonna go to Sean King next and then figure out that there's like, you know, 10 million shootings every day.
Adon,
were there 10 million shootings yesterday? If
Adon,
there were,
would you like to
if there were, then that's why they would find out about it.
I heard Sean Hannity, and I was so confused for a second.
The same coin.
That's because
listen, there was
Dan
no,
has
I,
a Pavlov
okay.
dog
okay.
effect.
All right, cool. That's not what I honestly heard Hannity, and I was so confused. Like, what is happening right now?
We know that Dan has a strong love affair for her. Sean King. He's affectious for Sean King.
But
amazing.
I want to take back what I said because I don't want to be in that boat no more. Okay. I just misheard.
You misheard? You talking about Sean Hannity?
Yes, when I said that.
We're on the same show. You're with me.
Listen.
Be with me.
I just
you don't have to be for me.
Until
Adon
distances himself on Twitter quickly.
Yeah.
I don't
rock with anything these guys talk about.
I don't know. I barely know
y'all. I wasn't there.
Now I barely know you.
Matter of fact, what's your last name? All right. So, yeah. All right. So, we, before we go any further, we've got a new situation. It's just, it was actually Dan's idea. So if it fails, I mean, he's quite reckless. And it's just basically just kind of cold calling some of your favorite artists and individuals that I'm friends with and just not even telling them that they're going to be interviewed on this episode, but just talk to them. And then just start asking them questions.
It's off the record.
It's off the record.
It's off the record.
So at what point do I tell them this is a podcast?
Like at the end?
Oh, at the end.
Or maybe in the middle?
So I'm not, like, at no point. So are you guys going to ask questions at all?
No, we're just going to listen and laugh.
And listen and laugh?
Because our mics don't work. We'd have to come crowd you.
And we're not famous like you, so we don't have friends to call.
Yeah.
At some point, I think we got to tell them. And so, like, I want to bring you guys in if you guys have questions.
Okay.
And today, our first victim is going to be my man Thizzle from St. Louis. All right? So y'all ready for this? Let's do it. First of all, you see if he answers the phone.
Hello.
What up, love, cuz?
What's up with it, brother?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself? You know this phone came up, no call ID.
Yeah. I told you I was about to call you from a Cali number.
No, it came up like no ID, period.
Oh, okay, my bad.
That's why the first time you called, I just hung up.
You thought the feds was calling, bro? Thought your pass was sneaking up on you?
I know it was. I just hung up, man. I was like, man, I don't want nothing to do with this, man.
Hey, so I got to be straight up with you, man. Like, there's really no reason I'm calling you. I'm just calling you just to chat with you, man.
Oh, that's dope. Right on, bro.
Yeah, man. How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm good, man. I don't know the last time somebody called me just to chat with me.
Bruh, that's because I love you. That's why. I'm a real brother. You know that.
I see, man. Either that or I'm getting punked or Ashton Kutcher, man.
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. But I'm actually recording this right now for my podcast.
Yeah, right here. What if I
would have
started cursing?
We would have kept it.
We would have edited it out. That's what we would have done. This is a new thing I'm doing. I'm just cold calling folks, man. just cold calling them just to have an interview real quick. Just chop it up with them.
Hey, this is the first cold call interview I've ever had, man, but I'm happiest with you.
Man. Hey, man, thank you, bro. So first of all, there's a couple things going on that I want you to just to talk about. First of all, you're one of the out of all the people that I have a connection with and relationship with, you're one of the few dudes that I authentically, like, when I look at, I'm like, man, this dude is who he is. Love him. He's real. So I'm actually extremely excited about this book it's dropped, right? It's released, or?
Yeah, it released Tuesday. It released Tuesday the 22nd. And I'm excited for people to get it as well, man.
All right, you need to send me a copy.
I'm going to have to send you one. I'm just going to have to send you one. You can text me your phone. Hey, is your phone number still? No, nah, you can text me your address when we get done. I put it in the mail.
Word. So talk about the book real quick. Tell us, like just a general overview. You know, I know it's about your story, but, like, why you wrote the book, what was the purpose, and what do you hope to accomplish out of it?
Man, well, okay, I'll give you two or three quick reasons why.
All right.
One is, for years, people have been telling me, like, when I'm sharing brief stories, like, man, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I'm like, all right, yeah, okay, whatever. So I started writing on it, you know, a little while back and started putting it together. And then I just finally sat down and went ahead and finished it because I felt the timing was right. So that's one reason. Two, I wanted to share not just my life, but, you know, the changing point of my life.
Yeah.
With people. And one of the reasons that I felt that was really significant right now is because more and more lately, you know, I'm getting this more and more exposure in front of people that are, you know, non-Christian of my faith, or people that just are street dudes or dudes in jail, you know. So I wanted to create something so when I'm not there, they can have the experience of hearing the story. And third, man, like, one of the things that I want to do in my city locally and probably nationally is use the book to get into schools and challenge kids to read.
Yeah.
You know, so we working on something where in the fall I'll probably put together some type of initiative where we'll map out schools we want to go to in St. Louis, see exactly how many kids are in each school in St. Louis that we want to go to, and we're going to kind of target the schools that are like the rough schools, whether they're in the hood or they're somewhere else, you know, or in the suburbs, the schools where they have more problems at. We'll see how many kids are at each school, and we'll get like either corporate sponsorship or private, so that when we go to these schools, everywhere we go to, when we leave, we'll be able to leave each kid with a book.
That's dope.
You know, so
how you? Yeah, so that's crazy. How you write a book you can't even read yourself?
Hey, it's the power of the Lord, man. Muhammad did it, man. Hey.
He said Muhammad did it.
Yes, sir.
That's the best answer I've ever heard in my life, dog. Oh, man.
You're going to get me in trouble. I can see the Facebook post now.
What's your the music situation like? How many more albums you got in you?
Man, it's funny. Every day I think about quitting music, but it's not because I don't have more music.
Yeah.
Like, I just recorded 30-something. Like, I'm a recording machine.
Yeah.
So I'll go in the studio and knock out 20 songs in 10 days or 5 days or 3 days if I'm in the zone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But my life, man, like I'm growing more to a point that I want to be stationary because there are things that I want to see built.
No, you know? Absolutely.
And so I want to be stationary so I can be a part of a church plant that has an intention of being socially and spiritually, you know, relevant in the city. A church plant that says, yo, we want to see you saved. We want you to know Jesus, but we also want to come into your neighborhood and show you how to buy property and rebuild your neighborhood so you can own it. We want to show you how to open corner stores. We want to show you, you know, we want to endure. We want the next mayor of the city to come from our church,
yeah.
The next school superintendent, the next principal, the police officer, you know, so I want to be a part of a church plant like that. I want to be part of seeing men just in general, like, get an understanding that they were born to be greater than what they're being. And it's hard to do that when you're on the road. Like, I'm on the road a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At this point, I'm kind of enjoying it and soaking it up. But at the same time, you know, I still see my – I'm yearning for that day. So I think it's something God is doing in you, man, so I don't get too – you know, comfortable. It might be 4 years, it might be five, it might be three, it might be 2 months from now. You know, yeah. The other day I was like, man, I'm gonna stop rapping, man. I wanna get a church planner. You know what
I'm
saying?
Did you say it like that? Did you say it exactly like that? Was that how you said it?
Nah, it was a little worded than that, but that one was a lot better. I better work for your podcast. But yeah, but yeah,
did.
Man,
thank
that's
you.
Where my heart at, man. I wanna see certain stuff flow. But I think right now rap is helping me get the ear of the people. You
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? So the things I want to do in the city, people see, they already see the heart before it happens, you know?
Word.
Like last night, I opened up for Rick Ross you know, in St. Louis.
What was that like?
You know, I was crazy. It was crazy. Like, man, people loved it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reception was amazing. So it was just one of them things to keep, you know what I'm saying? Digging that ditch. You know what I'm saying? We just dig and we steady digging at it. So that's 4,000, you know, that's 4,000 or 5,000 more people in the city that now are familiar with what we do, you know.
Was anybody confused? Did anybody think that you were Rick Ross when you came out?
No, look, for real. I'm gonna be 100. Let me be 100 with you, right? So before the concert, I've had enough experiences that when I go to juveniles or these places where these little hip kids that don't know me, and you walk out and they go, oh, you know what I'm saying? They make a little rocking on it, like trying to be funny, right?
Right, right.
So look, before the event, I called my barber. I'm like, man, look, I go to the barbershop. He said, what you doing, a normal low? Shape up the beard? I said, nah, bruh. I said, nah. We gonna leave it just like it is, because it had got a little woolly, you know what I'm saying, for me working on the album and all that. I ain't been really getting a haircut. I say, look, bruh, we're going to leave it woolly and do something just unique right now, Because I can't get no low cut, go out there with a low cut in the bird, man. Yeah. That's cracked that Ross joke. I say, we can't do that. So I intentionally, brother.
I feel you.
Made sure I had her on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're about to get off, but I wanted to ask you, are you coming down to the Masters to kick with your boy Bubba?
Man, I might, man. If I ain't on the road, I'll be there, man. You know I've been helping him with his swing, man. You know, so
okay, whatever.
I'm going to have to come down.
You should try to get a caddy for that brother, though, or something.
That would be amazing.
That would be dope.
Hey, man, I went and did the Phoenix Open with him, right? And I walked the green with him and everything while he was out. And, man, people were looking at us like, who is this dude? I went into the little, what they call it, the little, where they go in. You know, I'm golfing literally.
The clubhouse.
I went in the clubhouse. They looking like, who is this with Bubba? And, you know, they don't talk to people while they're playing golf.
Yeah, right.
So I was the only person he was talking to on the other side of the rope. And people kept coming up to me like, why does he keep talking to you when he's just ignoring us?
Like, is Bubba Watson doing drugs?
He thinks I'm Rick Ross.
He thinks I'm Rick Ross, ladies and gentlemen.
Bro. I should have said,
Hey, man, thank you so much, bro. I appreciate you being a good sport about this, man. Blessings to you and the book and all that you got going on, man. That's dope.
And I will send you one, my brother.
Yeah, do that.
I'm gonna leave your show now since you've interrupted my life. I'm going to say this before I go. But I also, even with the book, an extension of my heart for people in that position and want to create urban resources. We've already finished the study guide. It's smaller than the book, and it's only like seven chapters, but it chronicles the part of my life after salvation. And I talk about practical things that I did to fix my life, like paying off child support, paying off my debt.
That's dope.
Never working, like going from never working a job to submitting to somebody and working a job, you know. So I talk through like,
that's super
urban
dope
things, like, yeah, sacrificing not buying Jordans, you know, for a year or two so I can buy studio equipment or pay for beats. So
you don't know how that is huge to me, especially like, because when you talked about economic development, like people talk about that stuff, but like the way in the practical way in which you're applying it, like the child support and the paying Jordans off, you know, getting out of debt, the Jordans, like, you know, though I don't want to, I'm not trying to create a monolith of like the hood, like say everybody acts like this, but I think those are very like prevalent things, and coming from a voice like yours, I think is going to be huge and beneficial. And I'm going to check it out. And I think if I come across cats that I feel like, man, maybe my story can't necessarily connect with them, hopefully this book will be something that I think will be of a great resource for them. Because, I mean, the kind of community I live in is I think, you know, it's beneficial for the kind of dudes I come across. So,
yeah, man. Definitely my brother.
Well, dope, man.
Text me that address and I'll send you that stuff over. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
The impromptu interview.
No doubt, bro. You be good, man.
I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you guys.
All right. Stay woke.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario? Here we go, yo.
All right, man. Let's get into these topics. Who's going first?
Crickets.
JP. JP.
Oh, yeah.
We go to my topic first. My topic is very light.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, you didn't
let's
go last week.
I so, didn't. Yeah. Let's do mine.
That might have been the Lord.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, to save it for this week. Because we were excited this week.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
the anticipation built up. That's all I was saying.
Shut your face.
Jeez, man.
All right.
I'm losing right now.
I just wanted to talk about something. Like, I mean, there's a lot of heavy stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of the heavy stuff. Well, first of all, as a recap to last week, your boy Governor Deal vetoed the...
As recent as today.
This morning, vetoed the religious liberty. Mm-hmm. So,
shout out to him. And then there was one other thing that we need to address from last week. There was someone very upset with us about...
I don't think she was very upset. She was just... She just didn't agree with us on a gentrification conversation.
No, no, no. There was a different issue. There was a guy on Twitter that was very upset, and I didn't even know what he was talking about, to be honest with you.
So there was a gentleman that we were talking about Twitter, and I was asking about Twitter beefs, and JP, you had an issue with a pastor
83.
Okay, yes. And I think in the midst of now, you know, it, no shade, nothing like that. In the midst of us having that conversation, I think I was the one, actually. I was like, I said, you know, I asked if he had a moral failing, because I remember you were saying that you just hadn't seen him at all online anymore. And so there was a listener mm-hmm. who tweeted us, and I don't have his name. I don't know if you have. We don't even have to say his name, but he wanted to let us know that he did not have a moral failing, and that he has been working diligently in the community in yeah. Kansas City, in the area, and I think Kansas City, mm-hmm. And just that, you know, he wanted to be sure that it was known that he was out there, you know, doing the Lord's work, and that there's, you know, that was the reason why. I guess he was an artist as well, or something like that.
The yeah, dude that he was, yeah, uh-huh. the dude that
the pastor,
AD.
AD.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's yeah. an artist. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he was saying that's why he kind of stepped back, is because he's been focusing more on ministry.
Yeah,
and so I think, you know, Dan and I had both seen the kind of his this particular listener's correspondence with Fourth District, so we wanted to make sure that we doubled back to that and let it be known that he is out there being faithful and all right. working and that's all that dope. Good stuff. And that's so good. That's it.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you guys.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we see. That's good. I'm glad that y'all.
Now, again, though, we didn't clip. Say anything. We didn't say he did.
You asked.
I just asked the question. Okay, yeah. But all he right. was upset that it was even asked, which I don't know what to do with that exactly.
We're probably going to, just for future reference, we're probably going to offend you no, on this podcast.
You're probably going to offend okay. people.
70% of the time it will be Dan within you. The other 30%
is JP when he's on.
And if you want 100% offensive, go listen to Don't Do That, Bro.
I'm going to offend. There's a couple people who just get at me on Twitter because they feel like all I do is talk about race.
Oh, which, really?
Yeah. That guy I don't care about.
Nah.
Is it Sean King? Is he upset with you?
Oh, gosh.
Right, like
no,
like you right. have no depth of character. That's all you have it's in your like toolbox is race. Like,
yeah, all you guys talk about is race, and I'm like, yeah, that may be true.
You don't even argue with them.
We could change the podcast to about race.
Race the record. Erase the record.
What about race?
What about race?
All right, so what's this lighthearted topic?
All right, so last night, okay. my wife, was it last night? My wife and I went to go see Batman versus Superman.
Nah, oh, okay. Gosh, you gave me your money.
Why you hating? And see, this is my thing. This is my thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think people, you know how like there's certain people who just people don't like, and no matter what they do, they're just gonna judge it. You know, right. it could be amazing. They just like, sure. I just don't like it.
Sure.
I feel like Ben Affleck got that rap.
He did.
I think certain people are just so upset that Ben Affleck is playing Batman that no matter what happened in this film, they were gonna be like, no, I don't like it. Unacceptable.
I feel like, and I'm way out of my depth here, but I feel like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, it's like a Jacob and Esau thing. Like Ben, whom he hated.
Exactly. Okay.
There is nothing.
And Matt, I loved.
Matt, I loved. Okay. Because Matt Damon can do just about anything.
Anything. It is amazing.
Everyone was like, wow. He is
like
so
like the talented
real.
Mr. Ripley. Tell me that movie wasn't the worst.
I haven't seen it. When I first saw it, I didn't like it, but yeah. I feel like I need to see it as a more of an adult.
Like, there's a couple movies. I mean, Matt Damon is a great actor, though.
I like
Matt
Damon.
I'm not going to sit here and act like he's not. Mm. But I also feel like Ben Affleck, he's done some terrible films, true. But he's not a terrible actor.
No. He's
all.
A good director and he's a good actor.
There you go. And he's a good director.
Mm. So now, I do feel Argo that was shot in Instagram filters?
Yeah.
Argo was great. Instagram filters.
You're right. It was shot in Instagram filters.
Is that inkwell? What is this? Lo-fi?
Right. That's a Walden.
Yeah. Bosnia beard going, too.
It was a good movie.
That was a good movie. Argo was a good movie.
So you're saying the one movie that he did was well? That he's a great actor because of that one movie?
I was about to name a couple movies.
Oh, okay.
But he was actually good in Good Will Hunting, even though he was a you know, secondary character. Mm-hmm. The bank movie that they ripped off
the
from
town.
Set
the
It Off.
Yeah, the fake town. The white guy set it off.
The white guy set it off. That was actually pretty good.
So what we're seeing though is that he has a Boston. Penchant for success when it's dealing with where he's from.
Right. Boston.
When when he plays a Boston guy.
Well, I'm pretty sure I could think of something else that he.
What about the one Baby Gone, Baby Gone, or Gone?
Oh, that movie was amazing.
That was
that
amazing.
Movie.
But
was
it him though?
Because
I feel like
that was
he wasn't
his brother actually.
Oh, he wasn't
that
in
was
the movie.
Casey Affleck.
Oh wait, no, you're talking. Okay, you're talking about. Yes, that is Casey Affleck.
That wasn't even Ben Affleck.
No, but but you're Gone Girl, and then Casey Affleck was Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah, which is
two separate movies.
Completely. I haven't seen Gone Girl.
Okay,
but Gone Girl made Tyler Perry look like a man, which was very successful. that in itself is pretty successful.
Oh yes, it's a movie. So,
just for clarity, Gone Baby Gone, Ben Affleck directed it.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Yeah, but I was
okay. Casey Affleck did it. Did act in it. Ben Affleck was the director.
Nepotism.
So there was some. But he was still great in that movie though. Even though it was his brother, I'm like, you did a good job. Mm-hmm. So there were some spots in Batman vs Superman that I was like,
But you didn't hate it as much as the critics hated it.
Enjoyed it.
Interesting.
It wasn't great.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It was dark, mm-hmm. which I love my comic book movies to be dark. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be campy.
Like your women.
Thank you, JP.
Yep.
But you're not supposed to be talking about women and stuff right now. Like,
sorry.
There you go.
Okay.
I don't like the campy. I don't like the bright kind of like old Batman stuff. Mm. You know. I also felt like it. You know, we have to understand like movies nowadays. They're not created in a vacuum. They're created so that they lead and create other opportunities. Like there's it's a jetway, it's a runway for
and I hate that about movies.
I do hate that to some degree, but and that was probably the one thing about this film. I'm like, oh, they're setting up 18 different stories, right. Which is like, okay, I get it.
Right.
Was it a jetway for him to stop doing Batman?
No.
Lead into him retiring that character for himself?
No. Oh. I'm not gonna even go there. Okay. But anyway, so it was a setup for the Justice League.
Got it.
So at the end of the day, this is what I'm gonna do. I will say that yes, it wasn't as good. It probably wasn't as good as the Dark Knight series, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it was still good. Those mm-hmm. Dark Knight series to me were pretty amazing.
Yes, they were.
They're amazing. Right. They're some of the best movies made.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan is genius. Uh-huh. Right? Now I will say, like, though this wasn't on that level, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. Like I would watch this movie over a lot of the Marvel movies that. Mm. The first Captain America, the Thor movies, definitely. Mm. Ant-Man.
What?
At least two of the Iron Man films. Mm. All the Spider-Man movies.
It's completely different style. Like, if you look at the people that went into seeing Batman vs. Superman and expected anything different than what they got, they were foolish.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder makes the same movie over and over and over again. And he's very good at it. He made 300. He made The Watchmen. And now he's made Batman vs. Superman. Mm. And they're going to be dark superhero, very like heavy VFX, mm-hmm. very comic booky to the core, and so there's going to be some people that hate it and there's some people that love it. But
yeah, I enjoyed it. The question I do have for you guys, and this will hopefully make it interesting, and it, you know, we would like to extend this debate to our listeners, is you give me your top three. Like comic book films, or it could just be superhero films. Like, and it mm-hmm. don't have to be like necessarily comic book, but superheroes. Like, what are your top three films mm-hmm. in like comic book films that you've watched or seen that mm-hmm. you love? And I'll even extend it to TV shows. So if it's something like, you know,
definitely something Daredevil. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not my turn.
No, you can do that.
Sorry,
it's fine.
I'll wait till my turn.
Daredevil, go ahead. The new one?
Yeah.
The season two or season one?
Either one. Season two is even better than season one. Bro.
I haven't seen season two yet.
It's
amazing.
I started yesterday. I'm on the last episode. So I was supposed to be watching my daughter. So she's still alive.
She's somewhere wandered.
For me, I just jumped in, but Dick Tracy, the one with
Dick Tracy,
Warren Beatty.
I feel like you're joking right now.
I'm not.
Madonna and Dick Tracy.
So how old was I when that came
you're
out?
You're like six,
exactly. As for a 6 year old, that movie was amazing, bro. Like still to this day, Big Boy did it. Big Boy did it. Like Mr. Mumbles, y'all remember that?
Yes, I do.
Bruh, like that stuck with me to this day, dog. Like. That's how great it was.
That movie was terrible.
You at that time you thought it was terrible?
No, I didn't.
Okay, exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, that's like saying watching to go back. Oh, Thundercats! Like Thundercats was terrible, but it's amazing in my mind.
No, Thundercats would still be dope to this day.
I don't know. I've seen them. I watched them, and I was like, ooh, this 2D or 1D or whatever this is.
You know how I feel about? You know what I feel? I feel that sentiment now, Martin. Like ooh, Martin
don't you
was
do that.
The
don't
greatest
do that.
Thing ever.
Don't you do that?
I just don't. I can't watch
that,
it anymore.
Don't you so put that
tough,
on me, Ricky Bobby?
It's tough that you brought this up. In a public conversation, because this is one of those things that I wouldn't talk about publicly.
But privately,
I'm just gonna stop right there.
Okay, all right. right.
So cool. The one that I will feel bad about co-signing, but I just have to, because it was like, I saw it probably 1,000 times when I was like 12 or 13, Blade.
I love Blade.
The first Blade.
I would say Blade was probably one of, it's somewhere in my top five. Somewhere.
Blade was better than Dick Tracy?
Yes, it was better than Dick Tracy.
Gotta go back and watch it.
Absolutely,
man.
Better than Dick Tracy. All
right.
Oh my gosh.
All right. The greatest one of all time, though, is The Dark Knight with the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the greatest comic movie.
What's your favorite villain?
Wait, man, we gonna let this man slide? We're just saying, in my private time. We can't get one? We can't get, like, a piece of a section? Like,
I mean, I'm gonna have to go with Howard the Duck, honestly.
Howard the Duck! Yo. Oh, snap!
Yo.
Howard the Duck was classic, bro.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck was classic. Yeah. I didn't know until, like, 3 years ago that was actually a real, like, a comic book. A DC comic.
Yeah.
I was like, I think my daughter told me.
Your daughter put you up on
game. She put me on game.
Like, yo, Pop.
She's like, yeah, and Howard the Duck. I was like, how do you know about Howard the Duck? First of all,
I hope she ain't seen it. I didn't know what y'all are talking about.
You don't know Howard the Duck?
Oh, man.
Nope. Oh, man.
You missed out on childhood.
1986. It was a year before I was born.
Yeah. Well,
hey, bro.
Don't
matter.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I obviously didn't watch it in 1986. I don't think I did.
I didn't.
I did.
I probably watched it some years later, but I was like, this is amazing.
Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 14.
That's because Rotten Tomatoes is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's they the don't Gestapo. Know
that. It is the Citizen Kane of...
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Orson Welles made that thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir, for sharing that. I do appreciate it.
So, you gave me Dick Tracy.
Yep. I'm saying, what year did it come in? Dick Tracy come out?
Show can't even say it without laughing. You gave me... Dick
That's
so Tracy.
Disrespectful, man. So
you gave me the Janet Jackson escapade video.
1990. As a 10-year-old kid, it had Madonna. It had Warren Beatty, right? Was that his name?
Yeah, that was Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. The characters was just like, I like the Dick Tracy comic books. He had the little watch, everything, man. And for at 10, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what else I could have expected.
Well, I will say this. This wasn't the movie that I was going to say, but for nostalgia purposes, I feel your sentiment. Mm-hmm. My favorite movie, if I go off nostalgia, was probably the G.I. Joe movie.
The cartoon movie was my movie.
Yo, man, I still well up in Transformers when Optimus Prime died.
Okay, man. So
that right there.
You remember they dropped the S-bomb on that movie?
Yes, I do.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say my favorite movie is probably the first Transformers.
That thing right there.
The actual movie, though.
Yeah, no.
I remember when Optimus Prime first showed up on the screen, I think I almost peed a little bit.
Had squeezed tight.
I was like, oh snap, Optimus Prime.
Yeah, we've been waiting. I've been waiting for this.
Years, bro. The only thing that could surpass the Transformers movie is a Thundercats movie. You remember when it was like the rumors of a Thundercats movie for years. And Wesley Snipes was supposed to be in that thing?
Wow.
He was supposed to be Panther?
That would have been legit, bro.
Come on. So yeah, I would say Transformer was the movie that I was like,
you don't even know Thundercats. He's looking at it like, what is this?
Are you serious, Dan?
Thundercats?
Do you remember Tailspin?
Yeah, I know Tailspin.
Darkwing Duck was that?
Yeah, Darkwing Duck was.
We need to have an episode just talking about like cartoons.
We should.
So, your question was about superheroes or just comic book graphic novels adaptations? What was it exactly?
It was just a superhero hero movie.
Gotcha. Because I was about to say, how did Dan not bring up V for Vendetta like as a graphic novel adaptation? Like,
yeah, that is true.
Thanks for pointing out my error.
Well, he was gonna say Sailor Moon or something, right? Or Yu-Gi-Oh or something. Is that what you hit?
Pokemon.
Okay, I didn't know.
Were you a Pokemon person?
No, I wasn't. I did get into some Yu-Gi-Oh. God, just put it out there.
Yeah,
that's not. I mean, I have college roommates and friends who were like faithfully into the wasn't the Pokemon, but it was the Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
we've talked about anime on Don't Do That,
he
Bro.
Act like you don't watch it.
It's definitely a Don't Do That, Bro. If you watch anime, you are screwing yourself for the rest of your life.
Well, hold up. Like, Ninja Scrolls was the short shot. I think everybody saw...
What?
You never...
I've heard of it. I didn't watch
Ninja Scrolls. Y'all never saw
Ninja? Nah. Okay. Mine, only one I really watched was Akira. Like, the old school one. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Do
you have to say it with that accent?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, we are losing people by the second.
Akira! This is actually gaining our listenership right now.
Right. Sounds like the beginning of
Japan's
on
fire.
Right?
I'm about to pass the mic. All
right.
Yeah, anyway, so it's I will just say this overall. So am I the only one who saw the movie, apparently?
Yes.
Do you guys... JP doesn't have interest. Do you have interest in seeing it?
Oh, for sure. I want to see it.
Do you have any interest?
I don't, but that's because I'm kind of over all superhero comic book. I'm like done with all of them.
Absolutely. Well, my wife really wanted to see it, and so I was like, I don't mind seeing it, and she really wants to see Civil War as well. So I'll definitely see that.
I think as a writer and as like a, I understand that there's like great stories in all of them, but I like hate the fact that like there's so few movies that get greenlit. Mm-hmm. Annually now,
yeah,
and so many of them have to, like, so much of the major budget goes to these types of movies, right, which set up other movies like them down the line. It's just like, man, I just would rather have some real life characters sometimes.
But that's my
real
favorite
people.
I hear you, bro. And my favorite thing is TV series. I think TV series, sure, is, they're stealing the show right now because there's more depth. There's
I watch more of that than I do movies at this point.
Absolutely.
So have you guys heard about this new platform that's getting ready to launch that movies will come straight to? You basically buy a separate box. It's like a cable box. I think you pay $50 per movie, but you get it the day it comes out in theaters.
Well, I'm not doing that. So
the straightest face. That was the straightest face I've ever seen you make.
I'm not paying $50 for anything.
But you just charge. You just, everyone goes in. It's like pay per view.
Could be.
Probably not. All in favor. No. All right. Moving on.
Said no.
All right. So before we move on to the next topic, I do want to share something that has changed my world, and I think somebody here put me on it. And I hate that I'm about to promote another podcast on our podcast, but Serial, who put me on Serial?
It was likely me. Yes.
My gosh, Adon, this is the second thing. This is the second thing you put me on that's changed my life, bro. Brother,
welcome, sir.
My gosh,
you're about two.
This
years
is why I
late,
love you.
But
I know I am.
It's all good.
I listened to that mug. I listened to it faithfully.
It's amazing.
Like I went through, I think I'm in 9 episodes in the first season so far.
You will relitigate the entire case trying to figure out who did it.
Yes. And I'm sitting here like intense. I'm in this thing. My emotions are in it.
Absolutely.
I'm anxiety attacks. Bro. I'm like, who did this?
The butler did it.
So it's so intense. I think we should have a podcast about the podcast.
We could do that. But what's also interesting, so after you listen to that, you don't have to go to this season 2 of Serial because it's not as good as this first one.
Oh, okay.
But then you should take on How to Make a Murderer.
Mm-hmm. The TV show.
The Netflix series.
The Netflix joint, yeah. Because, I thought about that because I heard it was kind of similar in the same.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. It's actually more, like, seeing the visuals of it play out.
Yeah, because I see, as they're talking, like, through Serial, I'm seeing these pictures.
Yes.
And I'm imagining, like, I almost feel like that's the kind of high school I went to.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, that's my high school.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm sitting there thinking up. So anyway, yeah.
It's an amazing. It is an amazing thing.
I love how the storytelling that they do on it's that perfect. Thing is it's amazing.
It's fastest. It was the fastest growing podcast ever in history.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to talk too much about it because obviously there are people who may have interest in listening. And plus, I'm not done, so I want to learn. So yeah, we're going to scratch and move on to the next topic. Here we go, yo. So JP's topic. Who hasn't? Am I the only one?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So real quickly, we do. Adon doesn't
should
seem too
like
excited
a,
about it.
Should we do a rapid fire
round?
Yeah,
let's do a rapid.
All right, we're gonna do 5 minutes.
All right, let's go.
First 5 minutes is, why is it necessary to clarify the color of Jesus' skin?
Oh snap! We can't do this in 5 minutes.
Why
bro.
Not? Yes, we can.
Oh gosh. Well, first of all, I think it's okay. I feel like I always talk first. I'm not gonna talk first.
You already started, Adon.
Bro. You got something to say?
I have a lot to say, but I just rather, you know, I've been interviewing folks, and I just, you know.
Adon, what do you think, sir?
Why?
Yeah, because this past week it became.
Yeah, where did this topic come from?
So obviously, with it being Holy Week and Easter, there was, you know, there's a lot of Jesus talk, right, going around the interwebs. But there was one article put out by Christianity Today. Where it talked about the necessity that we acknowledge that Jesus is black or dark complexion and the importance of that and kind of the historicity of why it didn't go that way. But at the end of the day, to you guys, why is it important that we, is it important that we clarify that Jesus is black?
Yeah, so I'll say this. Does it change
or Arab or brown skin?
I think it has
lots of implications. I think it's a very weighty issue, especially here in the West, where people turn away from the they have tons of vitriol towards Christianity because of the things that Christianity has been used to perpetuate, right? So whether it's slavery, inquisitions, it's you got hate groups that herald, you know, Christianity as their religion or whatever. And when you have these acts, right, in the name of a particular religion and tied to a particular faith, then I think what it does to a folk or to a people is like, well, obviously, if Jesus is perpetuated within these particular ideologies and movements, and he looks like this, and this is the image, this is how he looks, then he's not my guy. Like, I'm not made in his image. And apparently the people who are perpetuating these ideas don't believe that I'm made in his image as well. And if we had a more accurate representation of what he looks like, it would be harder, I believe, to perpetuate these ideas in the name of this particular religion, right? Because if you have a dark-skinned Jesus, you can't easily assign slavery, a racial slavery, towards people with this image of a dark-skinned Jesus, or saying, hey, we are a hate group, but we're Christian, knowing that the Savior whom we worship and love is this particular complexion. And I think it's also, there's an academic level, I think, there's a lot of authors, and there's one book that I just got done reading, is How Africa Shaped the Christian Mind by Thomas Oaten. And a lot of him and his researchers will communicate there's a lot of academic dishonesty within Christianity because of the racializing of North Africa, the whole North African movement. So we don't ever want to attribute dark ethnicity to those individuals of Athanasius, the Clements, the Origins. These are all African men. And for some reason, we always have to make they were North African, right? And my tension is like, but they're African, right? And we know, no matter what time during that period, they were darker. They weren't blonde hair, blue eyed folks, people who look like individuals who came from the northwest of Europe, right? And that's how we like to see our spiritual leaders. And obviously, they did that for reasons of supremacy, reasons to make them feel. I mean, most people want to have a representation of their God
in their own image.
In their own image, right?
For sure.
But then I think the other part of this is that it denies the actual flourishing of Christianity in places like Ethiopia, mm-hmm. and Sudan, and all of what was called Nubia, the mm-hmm. West Africa, Northwest Africa,
original pyramids.
Exactly, like the areas where in Egypt, areas where Christianity was the most flourishing and thriving. When you have an image of this white Jesus, it's not just the image, it's the idea that's birthed out of that. The theology, the teachings, the lineages. And also, when we talk about church history, I'll pull 10 seminary students who are studying church history. I bet you 8 of those 10, if you ask them for a narrative church history, after the apostles die, they immediately go northwest. Mm. To Europe, they don't talk about anything that happened in Africa or in India or in going eastward as far as the Christian flourish. And there were great dynasty, Christian dynasties. There were bishops, there were popes, there were mm-hmm. churches. The oldest churches today are in Africa, Syria, and areas in the Middle East.
Lalibela.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not familiar with that, but yes,
Church of Lalibela and Ethiopia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So quickly, and I'll move on. In the book, it talks about there are 7 things, and I'll just name quickly like 3 or 4 things that Western Christianity can thank Africa for. One is monasteries, came out of mostly North African Christianity. The idea of systematic theology. Some of your first systematic theologians were from Africa. Other thing is the idea of kind of like a group thing when it came to the Christian councils. And there's so many other ones. I'll just stop there. But yeah, I think nobody gives a proper representation of what
Africa, not just Egypt, not just
things that can be associated with Asia.
Exactly. But so, Africa.
Taken out of Africa.
Adon, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would it be better that we adopt a more Muslim thought process in this, that there was no images of Jesus? Would that actually benefit the church in general, in your opinion?
I do not know, and I guess it's hard for me to see that. It's hard for me to see the practicality of it with it being so far removed from the Bible. Like, we are now 2,000 years plus with images and artwork and replicated physiology assigned to Jesus Christ that it's kind of hard for me to see that removed from the zeitgeist of any society at this point. Whereas early on in Islam, it was very much an edict, like, there shall be no, like, you do not do this. You know what I'm saying? So
they tried that in Christianity. They tried iconoclasm. Like, they didn't want icons and images. Graven images. But yeah, I mean, you know, really.
I'll say this, though. The thought, you know, along with everything that you said, Sho, which I think is very important, and I think the resources that you listed are super important. I do think what always comes to me about when this topic comes up in any way, shape, or form. One, I agree. I try not to say Black Jesus because I just think it's Jesus.
Come on, somebody.
Like, I don't apply a qualifier where there shouldn't be a qualifier. Like, the fact that you have to say Black Jesus is its own problem. But aside from that, one of my issues is that whenever there is a conversation regarding the darker hued complexion of Christ, what I see normally as the pushback from what I want to say are well-meaning evangelical white brothers and sisters is they say, well, why does race matter? Why does the color matter? And I always go, well, it mattered initially for someone to change the color. Mm-hmm. So why are you mad now that they're like, why is it now? Oh, just the color doesn't matter. It mattered enough for it to be whitewashed. So don't then like do this judo trick of like, well, no, color shouldn't be the focus. Well, it was a focus for some reason, for the reason why that image was changed or whatever. And so I just think that it's a disingenuous argument to come across and say it should not matter. I agree it shouldn't matter, but it did, and it mattered, and it was used for some political and spiritual reasons that have been problematic throughout history and have replicated damaging psychological effects on the behalf of people, brown, and I think it does just as much damage to white people as it does to Black people regarding how we view our faith. And so
absolutely.
There's so much more we could talk about.
We could. And just for everyone to know, the history behind why you first got white Jesus was painted as Zeus sitting on the throne. The first time that Jesus is whitewashed, and then it is taken and used for everyone's own devices from that point on.
90% of the arguments that I would have that I have with your comedic science, 5% would be removed because of a proper appropriation of who Jesus is. I mean, that's the God of honest truth. Like, if we just really had more honest historicity in our storytelling of biblical narrative, and like, so real quickly, if we talk about Cush, right? And I'm no Old Testament scholar. But we talk about the Garden of Eden. If you look at the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to jack this up a little bit, but if you read in Genesis 1, it talks about the rivers that run by the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. It's Geshen, the Euphrates, and Tigers. The Tigris, right? And it says, and there was a river that ran around Cush, right? Scholars try their best to make sure that they do not place the Garden of Eden in Cush. Well, if it says that there's a river that ran around Cush in the Garden of Eden, then that means it has to be somewhere where the people of Cush lived. And everybody knows that that Cush is just another way to say Ethiopian, like translated as Ethiopia or Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. And originally they cover way more landmass than just what is modern day Ethiopia, right? But every historian will try their best to create some judo on why that's not really the case. No. Yeah, it runs by, but really it's in Iraq somewhere. It's like, come
Southern
on.
Southern Norway.
So just stuff like that. Like, it's just like, why are they trying so hard to not? There's even many translations where everywhere it's Kush. They translate it to slave. Like, not, it's like there's some translation. They translate Kush to slave. They don't want to acknowledge it as Ethiopian.
Tigris and Euphrates though run through Iraq, so it's not.
Yeah, but if it says it runs around the land of Kush, that either says one that the area of Kush is dominant, or that Iraq is really in the land of Kush, right?
Okay.
Or that it's a greater landmass than that we give credit for, or two, that the area that although it runs north, it also runs south, and that area could be very much so a land that is occupied by, or somewhat occupied by North Africa, what is known as the Nubia or Kush area.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Anyway.
Awkward pause.
Dan just gave you the stiff arm, like, sure. Back to Iraq. It wasn't in Africa. So, okay.
I mean, but there's a lot of arguments that I could have that actually communicate that Africa, that parts of the land of Ham and his progenitor, his descendants.
You mean cursed, which is how we ended up this way, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're telling me.
Exactly. But anyway, that's a whole lot of discussion. It's actually a lot of stuff that I've been reading lately. Mm-hmm. And digging into that, I'm really excited about. So, yeah, man, it's a good discussion.
And I'm also want to be clear. I'm not the person who's like, yo, we created everything.
Yeah.
And every person of note was always black. Like, I'm not that person either. I am very much, though, like, yo, let's be real about agendas when stories and narratives have gotten changed. And
for
like.
Sure.
And I hate that part of the argument, is that when you do the work and you show, hey, logically, this is where this happened, then it's like, oh, wait, no, a second. Why are you so hung up on the race of it? Well, I wasn't hung up on it, but you lied. And so that's why I got hung up on it.
No, for sure. And I think what the one of the stronger points is that I think it psychologically affects not only people of African descent.
It affects us
all. It affects everything. And it affects the reality that, you know, when I watch, man, okay, I'm about to get on my soapbox.
Sure.
The Bible series, right, that the History Channel put out, probably the greatest piece of, like, Christian propaganda-ishness for a white Jesus that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching with my wife and I turned it off, and I literally looked at my wife and I was like, I believe less in Christianity because of watching this for the last 2 hours.
Wow.
I feel like I just watched Disney World of Christianity, like the facade of a storefront, but you know behind that facade, walking down Main Street of Disney World, is fake. Mm-hmm. I felt like when I watched the Bible series on the History Channel, I was like, man, am I just caught up in this, like, man-made fake thing? Because I know this isn't true. I know there wasn't all these white people. I know that Jesus didn't have these curly locks. I know he didn't speak like this. And it's just, we hijack our culture and try to infuse it into something that it really wasn't. And I think to kind of circle back, it really does destroy a genuine faith if we're not careful. So...
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. This is definitely a conversation we could have again and with more time, but we're going to move on. JP, let's get your last topic. Let's get your topic in before you break out.
I got to roll these dice, man. I was just... mine was, there's this article in D.C. So basically, several cities have adopted this policy where they pay convicts not to do dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, let me give you.
So some. They pay folks, like, who have been released.
Yes,
released convicts.
Yes, released convicts. So let's see if I can get some. Basically, the idea, for every month they attended meetings, listened to mentors, didn't get in trouble, they got $100,000. So basically, I'm just giving you that sentence. So
for a month,
$1,000 a month. The city of city, Washington, D.C., city, right? The District of Columbia is trying to reduce their crime rates. And so what they're trying to do is pay people to stay out of trouble. So if you attend these meetings, do this, do that, da, 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 whatever the rules are, they're trying to pass legislation that they can allow these people that have been identified as dangerous to get this money to stay out of trouble. Other cities like Richmond, California, other places have done it. So my thoughts, trying to get your guys' thoughts on, do you think this is something that should be done? According to this article, stats have been proven that it's helpful, it's beneficial, like people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But then, of course, there's always going to be those people who say, well, I don't get paid money for not breaking the law and da-da-da-da-da.
But yeah. Are you being pejorative right now? Are you kind of like...
No, that's what I feel like.
I mean, you know Dan was going to say that. But again, so it's just like the cash help to pay rent, buy food.
Right.
Because the idea is... So I'll give you the statistics on here. Watching these folks slip up and throwing them right back in jail costs taxpayers $30,000 a year for incarceration. Okay. So people that get thrown in jail, right, mm-hmm. after just getting released from jail, cost taxpayers $30,000 a year versus $1,000 a month, right? Every gun homicide in America costs taxpayers about $400,000. So looking at it as a budget issue, paying someone $9,000 a year to stay out of trouble is cheap. So that's the idea behind the legislature or the people that have passed the rule saying, hey, I'd rather give somebody $9,000 to stay out of jail than pay $400,000 when they get caught with a body.
Dan, you anxious. Let's go.
No. I mean, at the very core of like my capitalistic broken
self. Is it capitalism?
Like I can rock. Okay. I was wondering what the cost of, and I knew the cost is, you know, it's huge to.
But I mean, there could be an argument against that in the sense that it was like, well, we're giving money with the expectation of that they don't commit a crime, but we can even save more money if they just don't commit the crime.
Caveat. Okay. So I'm reading this quote, this article. Turns out, most successful federal program to help with jobs and education, federal prison industries, what it's called, have been cut by half over the last decade, according to Deputy Attorney General. Da 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 da. The opportunities are slim for people with records. So another caveat is the opportunities to participate in the economic system once you've got slim. A felony or whatever are slim. So the idea is like, man, I don't have any options. We don't want them to commit crimes. We don't want taxpayers to have to pay more money when they do commit crimes. It's almost like affordable health care. Like, hey, if somebody gets into an accident that doesn't have insurance, it costs taxpayers X amount of dollars. Let's just make sure that everybody has insurance so that, it, you know, maybe rates will go up, but you pay less in taxes. So I'm just trying to equate those
two things. I feel like it's also one of those things where, like, I get it, and I can understand the argument for it. I think it also... It is certainly a big government solution to a problem that ideally should be addressed other ways, right? And so the problem that I see is like, you know, we all know that unemployment is the biggest indicator of crime, right? Mm-hmm. And so the issue is that like these people who have gotten out, served time or whatever, if they had better opportunities for jobs, then it's like, then we don't have to, I feel like this is like, saying, oh, there's not jobs for them, so we're just going to give, you know, a government stipend that would take the place of what a job should be able to provide for these people. And so I feel like I don't know if it solves a long-term issue. Right. It's a stopgap type thing. And that's the issue I have.
And the reality of it is $1,000 a month or $9,000 a year is not going to stop somebody from committing a crime. Because within that, they still have to get an occupation. Nobody's living off of $9,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean,
it helps. I'm not saying it, and I don't want to demean that. Mm-hmm. But as he said, like, it is a big government issue. At the end of the day, somebody still has to create jobs, especially in these communities that are blighted and need some sort of economic engine. Mm-hmm. So I'm not mad at it. It's like a welfare system. Mm-hmm. Like when needed, dope. Mm-hmm. Right. When abused and when that becomes the leg of which everybody stands on, it's not gonna be helpful. I would ask you, what are the statistics from like Richmond and the other cities, and are they overwhelmingly positive?
Yeah,
let me think. How long have they been doing this would be the other thing.
And to echo what Adon said, I think this is election politics. Like it sounds like, you know, in the short term, there's probably huge benefits. I'm sure you could get the crime rate to drop by 3%, 4%, 5%. But in the long term, are you actually dealing with the cyclical nature of convicts coming out of prison trying to find jobs?
Well, it depends on what else is offered in this program. Like, I'm sure they're not just
like you sit here and listen to a lecture and get money. I'm hoping that there's training, there's like, you know, psychological evaluations, yeah, maybe. Like I'm
so
hoping.
Just buying that time. What Washington is considering, the most wanted members will only get the cash if they go to an intensive stay straight program of education, counseling, and job training that lasts about 9 months. Okay. So that's what they're mandated to be doing in order to get that check. But in Richmond,
it's only 9 months long, right? So yeah, like after that,
I think that's fair.
I think
rock that.
It's like job training. It's like getting paid for job training. So like for instance, and I'm sure my man won't be mad for me to put this out there. He's doing some great work. My man Ivan Rouse runs a program here in Georgia called Georgia Works. What they do is they work with adults who may have had felonies or drug addiction or whatnot. Actually, just bleep out.
His name?
Not the name, but the organization.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, they work with individuals. So what they do is they give gentlemen a place to stay and they pay them for doing, like, you know, trash pickup stuff around the city. But ultimately what they're trying to do is get them connected with city jobs and to try to create, to reproduce healthy habits and lifestyles so that they won't, like, just stay in this place. But, you know, the reality is a lot of these dudes who have drug addiction, who's coming out of prisons, they're not, there's no place for them to enter into a healthy workplace and just get a fresh start. So they need something like this. So if it's something like, you know, at a 9 month program that's helping people kind of like be a catalyst, I'm all for that. I think that's healthy. I think that's dope.
Well, it says, you know, and I personally worked in Richmond and lived in Richmond, right. You know what I mean?
And so Richmond ain't no joke.
Richmond's not a game. So basically it said, again, these statistics, after the city started to pay for peace plan 6 years ago, gun-related violence plummeted. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what other factors may have happened in the situation, but I personally buried 3 or 4 youngsters out of Richmond, you know what I'm saying? Like, under the age of 21, that all died from gun violence. So I'm like, man, if something had this, like this had been in existence, potentially their deaths could have been prevented, you know what I mean? If their violence was related to something that, you know, was money, you know, a money issue, like if they had something else to do besides being in the streets or whatever, so...
Do you think if we paid bad rappers $1,000 a month, that their raps would get better over time since they didn't feel the economic pressure to put out terrible music?
Nah, some dudes are just not good. Yeah. Like, some people are just not good.
It actually might make it worse, honestly. Like, very few rappers I know rap better with more money.
You lose that hunger. That's, yeah, man. Think about some of your favorite artists. When they got popular and they changed that tax bracket, their music just kind of like...
Fell off a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. I think Kanye is a great example of that. Like, when his problems became rich people problems, he even talks about it in his new album. Yeah. Mm. Like, you know, people never thought I'd rap like this again. But there's another line, I may be on the same song, where he talks about, like, he had rich people problems. Like, and I'm like, right. I was like, touche, bro.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah.
Because the stuff he's rapping about on his album, I do not like. I can't relate to.
That's what I always laughed about, like, with Jay when he called for the boycott, right? Of was it Cristal? Was
that Yeah.
And what was one? It was like, dude, I never could afford this. I guess I'm boycotting, right? I guess I'm in solidarity with you.
Exactly.
But what I loved is like his awareness of it, because he was just like, there's much bigger issues in the world I know, but first I got to talk about the world I know. I was
like, exactly.
Yep, that's about right.
There you go. All right. So is that it, Adon? Do you have a topic?
I don't, man.
You're not even a speed round?
Speed round? I mean, you know, I was thinking
about... Are we done? Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
Y'all hear it? So it was
good. Man, I'm trying to help you out, bro. I'm trying to get you home so you can get these pills or whatever. I don't know. Yo.
Is there a bad roll for the dice, like where you end up like,
I didn't look at them all.
Like, not tonight.
Cold shower. The love in the air.
So
man.
last man. Oh gosh. So Adon, your scratch of the week.
Man, this just came to me. I'm thinking about like honestly the late great Fife Dawg of A Tribe Called Quest, man.
Come on.
Yeah, man. I mean, when I think about just somebody who like was you know, like those types of artists that like you see what you get. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he was like that dude that, like you knew that's who you knew the dude rapping was the same person off the mic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just like I'll be, you know, the first to say, like my brother, my older brother is the one who put me on the tribe. It was like such a cool thing for us to connect via tribe. I remember I got to see them summer 1996, got to catch them on the Smoking Grooves tour, and they were like Beats, Rhymes, and Life had just came out. So I just remember seeing like them perform, and like we're like 30-40 minutes into the set, and like my brother, we just look like they got more hits, like they just keep coming. Like it's crazy. So you know, certainly extremely sad news, you know, to hear that he passed. And you know, so definitely.
Shout out to all the folks that gave tributes. Like newscasters to ESPN, and you know, it's amazing. Like you don't realize how great of an impact somebody has until they pass away, which is sad because I'm sure that would have done well for his spirit to know like the kind of.
I will say that was the one thing that I thought was really good. Like in hindsight, is the idea that there was so much drama that was around the documentary that Michael Rapaport did on Beats, Rhymes, and Life on the Tribe Called Quest. But like it was dope that it did come out while they were all alive and that he was able to kind of see, you know, that like reaction to it. Cause I know I had people who honestly learned about them through that documentary as well too. And so, I mean, I do, but even like you're saying, like even him passing, just from, like you said, sportscasters to traffic cop, you know, traffic reporters here in Atlanta, like so many people had just great and profound experiences with A Tribe Called Quest and their music. So yeah, man, definitely shout out.
Do you think he's one of the most underrated artists? Do you think he is where he is? Like,
honestly, I actually don't think he's underrated. Okay. I think what he's done, what he did, is super. I think it's weighted correctly, honestly. Okay, like my personal feeling.
Yeah,
is,
I hear you. I hear you. What's your favorite Tribe song or fight verse?
Man, well, I mean, everyone.
The one that sticks out to you the most, maybe not. Maybe not the favorite, just the one that. Because mine is Scenario.
Oh, okay, got you. Yeah,
Bo know this.
Bo know that.
But Bo don't know Jack.
Right.
Bo can't rap.
Yeah.
That joint is so perfect the way he comes in. Like, man, it was just like.
There's so many things about it. Like, I would say it's a tie. Because so many people always run out and give, like, Bugging Out as, like, their experience of, like, when he came out. Yeah, but, like, my two are super underrated. One is he did on De La Soul's album, Art of Official Intelligence, the first one. They had the skits where they did ghost weed and like you smoked weed and you'd sound like a favorite rapper. So you smoked weed and like then the voice would become Black Thought and he was rapping. And then Pharoah Monch did it. There was one that Fife did, and it was, you know, just he was dope. Like in the, you know, he was dope. So that he was that verse really sticks out in my mind. But then also his verse on Phony Rappers, which starts Beats, Rhymes, and Life. Like when he tells them, like, you know, he's battling somebody freestyling and they're like, man, I need a Philly blunt before I get loose. I get loose off of orange juice. Like, I was like, yeah.
He was legit, man. He was legit. Dan, you know who Fife Dawg is?
I do. I do.
Did you see Beat Rhymes of Life? Did you see the documentary?
I did not. Man. I did not see the documentary.
That joint was dope. It was depressing, though. I was mad. I was like,
watching them break up.
Yeah, I was just like, oh man, I hate Q-Tip.
Right, I think that's funny. That
but way. I also felt
I felt
Q-Tip
the other way.
No, I actually crazy. Felt Tip on his like his hustle and his tenacity to do what he did. And like Fife was on some like, you know, I'll get around to it.
Yeah,
and he's like, come on, man. But so no, it was more so I saw so much of myself in Q-Tip. That's what it was.
No, that's
so.
And I can see that. No, yeah. I mean I felt that too because I think also. This sounds weird. I'm not speaking ill or dead, but like when you look at the careers post Tribe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at what Tip has done, you like, dude, like Tip had this drive to do this this entire time. Like Fife's had solo work since then, but you know, clearly debilitated with diabetes and everything, and just, you know, his focus being in sports. Q-Tip wants to get out there and give you this music. So,
Dan, you'll scratch the week, bro.
So. There's this series on Uproxx called Uncharted, and Afro and Nightmare. So Nightmare is a EDM DJ, and Afro is a man, old school throwback hip hop kind of voice.
Yeah.
And they've done individual series, but they got together and they did this live performance this week. where they do, it was a one take. They went straight, like, live performance room to, like, pressing a record in the one take. And so there really was no going back. And it was, they put the video out, super dope. And yeah, you know, the more I kind of find these guys that are trying to push the way that they record, and trying to get back to kind of this live performance analog feel, the more I kind of find guys that I really actually rock with.
Yeah, somebody I know's album's gonna be recorded.
Well, yeah, who? Most,
some of it was recorded and it's gonna be mastered and mixed and analog. Somebody dope I know. Somebody extremely dope.
Yeah. Hmm. Any release date anyway that you might know about?
Okay. So my cut of the week is, of course, is Jesus, man. Yahshua. Hmm. You know what I mean? And
we just, really?
Yeah, bro, I'm going there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going there.
Okay. I got these heathen eyes for you. Like, for real?
Well, I gave you the guy.
No, you gave it to me. I admit it. But you got us out here looking real fleshly.
Yeah.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I just you know.
Just go last, too.
Nah, no, really.
Like, it's not necessary. Didn't even get an option of going John or Peter.
No, so it wasn't really Jesus. It's really the disciples. Because we talk about Good Friday, right? Mm-hmm. And it's huge. And we talk about the Resurrection Sunday, but we never talk about Saturday. Could you imagine what it was like for the disciples on that day in between? Like, yeah, seeing your leader, your discipler, and mm-hmm. your savior being crucified. And then, like, well, I hope this works out.
Right, like, right. They showed and tried to save him.
Just sitting there, just like, yo, like the oh man, the emotions. True. And the stirring in your soul, it had to be something serious.
And you got to think like the stuff you got to like think back on, like, you know, if you were one of them, you're sitting there thinking like, well, like, was it true? Like is everything he's saying?
Absolutely.
He's dead.
You know, yeah, what I'm saying? Like, to see him mocked on the cross and crucified, you're like, did yeah, I, was, but we did see him perform miracles, though.
But was it? Did I, though?
But yeah, like, but was it?
Was it a lie?
Magic trick.
But I don't know. Like, is this real? Like, yeah. So, like, hey, man, let's go back to fishing, bro.
Right.
So it's just, and that's why cats were like, yo, I got to see him. If you're talking about he really real, I'm going to have to see this brother. So, no, man, I just think about that's the life that we live now, right? We talk about the belief in Christ and then the day that he hopefully shall return and that we will see him again. But we're constantly living in that Saturday right now, dealing with the tension of, do I believe? Do I really, like, is this really real? And
he says he's coming back.
Yeah, he's saying, like, I don't know.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, so my cut of the week is just the whole week of, like, the whole celebration of Easter. And
I really wish the church did a better job.
Absolutely, man.
Of making it holy and, you know, the very fact that it, like, Christmas seems like this, everyone's off, who would be in the office to, like, these, like, 3 days, but, like, when it comes to our Holy Week, we do a pretty terrible job.
I think we just, there's a couple, I think getting, and this is where it can get really murky, because it can become very legalistic and ceremonial, and we can miss the meaning of it, but I do feel like there's something to the orthodoxy of the celebration, like the aromas, the some of the things that they did during that time, and like reliving some of the actual, like, senses, like filling out the senses of that week, I think would benefit us all. But the other thing I've been talking to my wife about, which is going to be extremely hard, is, and this is somewhat of a different subject, is part of my issue with Christianity is a lot of the perpetuation of lies. And so we've been talking about, how do we celebrate Jesus during the Christmas season without celebrating Christmas? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the same thing, about getting to a point where I don't want to become like this Hasidic Jew, but I do want to feel like I'm connected authentically with my Lord in a way that's not commercialized.
Yeah, don't buy gifts.
No, we're definitely not. So this year we talked about, we're like not going to do the Christmas tree. Yeah. We're not going to do gifts, but we are going to like just acknowledge it in a way that we feel, because we got to gradually do it. Like, we don't want to traumatize our kids. Just like, you got to, like, hey, my daughter will kind of understand, because she's really the only one right now that really gets it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, man. So it's an interesting conversation.
My daughter gonna be sad. It ain't gonna, you gonna be giving away stuff in Christmas time.
That we did that for a while with our daughter. It was like, if you want something, you gotta give stuff away.
She ain't gonna get nothing though. She's just gonna be sad. just why am I giving? Give it.
Give. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That is Off the Record. If you love it, let us know. If you don't love it, keep that to yourself. But email us at info@fourthdistrict.com. Hit us up at Fourth District on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, tell us what you think. And send us some messages. Y'all slack this week, right? You ain't send us nothing.
Do you think they're spelling it wrong? Do you think they still are not understanding that it's go forth and not fourth as in fourth place?
I get it. So even, like, people try to be cool. So this is the funny thing. People will send me a text like, yo, man, I'm loving Fourth District. And they'll spell it right. And then they'll do like the hashtag the number 4 TH district. And I'm like, I don't
so
no.
close.
I was like, why? You spelled it right with the fourth, mm-hmm. but then you gave the fourth number. I was like,
So real talk though, like, so Don A&R is pretty much all the music that comes on the site. But if you send anything to, hey, FOURTH, I love you guys so much, I would love to be on the site, guess who doesn't get your email?
Yeah.
Adon Bean.
Absolutely.
Because he doesn't get forwarded to him. So, just so you know, I am the filter, and if you misspell the name, you get
X'd. We own fourth the number district.
We do. Okay, yeah, we do.
But we just throw it away, because if you don't have the decency to spell our name right, it's like, why would we feature you? Mm-hmm.
You
ridiculous.
Don't.
Huh. So anyway, man.
Walk around believing in this white Jesus.
Man, go home and play some dice. We out.